Hello, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode, but the first episode of F Off the Press for the year. Selim Maguire is in the house, as you can see. He's always here, our trusted source. And then, of course, we've got a special guest. This man is the guru, aka he is the wisest of the wise in South Africa when it comes to fantasy Premier League football. And, of course, it is the dreaded, or for some, in our case, it's dreaded between Selim and I because we're fighting mid-table teams here. But if you are pushing for the number one spot in your league, it is the dreaded, what, game week 38? And that's why we've got David here today. We want to know his story. We want to know how he got into this. We want to know his tips and tricks for our community and, of course, the Goal Lounge crew. But before we do that, Siddle, just tell the crew how you're doing, and then we'll get a little introduction there from David.
Yeah, no, I'm all good. I'm all good. Excited for the show. Obviously, having someone different in the show, someone who uses quite a lot of analytics to analyze and has done well with fantasy as well. So yeah, I'm interested to hear his insights and how he's obviously gotten to where he is right now.
Yeah, David, I mean, you can start off by saying hello before just jumping in. We'll lead the questions.
Okay, so hello everyone watching. I usually enter my videos with how's it, so I think the South African viewership will probably be quite related to that. So my name is David, or known as Davey FPL on YouTube and Twitter. Kind of just a variation of the name there, but yeah, excited to be here tonight, gents.
Silo, we did this completely wrong. His avatar's like this. It's how's it like this, Silo. We got to try it again. Okay, you ready? Are you ready? We're going to say, okay, hey everyone, are you ready? How's it? Come on,
David. How's it?
You're learning something here.
True right, South African style. True South African style. How's it going, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, we do have David, and in case you don't know, I mean, we don't know, and we want to know, because the man makes incredible content, and if you haven't come across his videos yet, and you're struggling in the league, then that's on you, because his videos are out there. So, David, how did you get involved in all of this? How did you become the Fantasy Premier League guru?
So I wouldn't call myself a FPL guru, because I think if you're going to put the expert name on yourself, then, you know, you got to play it modest or whatever, because otherwise...
That's why we're here, David. That's why we're here. No. We're calling you the guru. It's fine.
Okay, 100%. No, yeah. So I started YouTube. There was one game week, one season that I was actually doing pretty well. It wasn't anywhere up the ranks. It was about like 50K. And I started creating YouTube content. So that was about four seasons ago. And FPL content on YouTube, there was one or two guys doing it. It wasn't big at all. So I thought, you know, I'm doing quite well, maybe doing on par with some of these content creators. So why don't I create a YouTube channel? So started around 50K. And I think it was about game week 10 or 11, I started my channel. And just throughout that season, made some pretty good decisions and landed up finishing 22nd that season. So it was very nice to kind of have my start of my YouTube career correlate with a good season. So I managed to kind of clickbait that quite a bit, putting the rank in the title for quite a few videos, and that shot up the ranks, shot up the views. And ever since then, I've just created kind of FPL content. Season after that wasn't as good, but still pretty good season. Last season wasn't the best, but now this season we're doing pretty well again.
Were you, just before, I mean, what were you doing as a profession before?
So I was in university till about, so I didn't graduate this year. I graduated the end of last year. So I've been working for about a year and a half now. So I was in university when I started that channel, and kind of progressed from going from university, graduating to a career now, I guess. But I don't do YouTube full time, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. So what do you do? So this is this more like a passion thing you do on the side, or?
Yeah, so it's like a passion project, I guess. I like to call it a hobby. I've always been interested in YouTube and like Twitch content and that sort of thing. So I always like to kind of create content. So I've kind of used this as a way to have a hobby that I enjoy, because I would be doing FPL anyways. Like I'd be analyzing the stats. I'd be looking at the players, watching football. So it's nice to kind of have a hobby that also correlates to that. But I going full time on YouTube would be a completely different story, I think, for me.
So right now, how's your channel doing in terms of subscribers? You know, I think that's one thing when YouTubers start out, you know, they look at their numbers and say, you know, am I getting the right subscribers? Does that motivate you to obviously put out more content or to keep going in terms of how many subscribers you have, or is it just obviously for the passion, as you said?
Yeah, so in terms of the viewership, we're currently sitting about just below 30K subs, but I've been around like the 20K to 30K mark for like a long time. So there's been a lot of other FPL content creators that have like come out after me and doing better than me in terms of the viewership. Like I'm definitely not the best YouTuber that does FPL content. That's something I'll put out there. But 100%, it's not kind of a motivator. I think there was a stage in my like third year, second year that I was using that to kind of fuel it. But I kind of discovered that if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not going to be doing it. So yeah. Now it's kind of shifted completely. And if I'm not enjoying it, even if I was getting a lot of views, I think I would drop it. So as long as I'm enjoying it and I'm at a stage in my life where I don't necessarily have a family that I have to spend time with, like after work and that sort of thing, and I have time for it, I'm going to do it because I enjoy doing it.
No, proper, proper. So do you only focus on Premier League, or do you look at other, you know, fantasy football or other fantasy rugby,
yeah,
or fantasy, yeah, whatever it is? Because obviously I think, you know, with sports moving in the direction that it's moving at, you find yourself kind of, there's other stuff to do if you have other sports interests, for instance. You know,
yeah.
I know there's the European Championships have a fantasy, for instance, or the World Cup has a fantasy, whatever tournament literally has fantasy football these days.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Leagues, yeah.
So in terms of other sports, like I know there's like fantasy IPL and that sort of thing, fantasy rugby, that sort of thing. I think when you extend that, you can go to NFL. That's like the biggest fantasy football, the OG. But I generally just focus around football, soccer and SA, and just the Premier League. I used to play the Champions League at a stage, but I found when I'm using so much time and putting in so much time into one format, which is FPL, yeah, I sometimes just want to watch and enjoy football. And I think when you do play FPL, sometimes it takes away from the football. And for example, you would have watched like Real Madrid play Man City, and then you've got Man City options in your team. And then you thinking in the back of your mind, oh, flip, these guys are just being knocked out. I have to do 5 transfers now instead of just enjoying the comeback from Real Madrid. Mm. So I used to play Champions League, but I dropped that. But I will say when Euros came about, when the World Cup comes about, I do generally play those because I feel like when you do some insights into these lower teams, these lesser kind of nations, and you're actually focusing on their games, it allows you to enjoy the competition quite nicely. And it's only like a 1 month, 2 month period. So it's not that much. And it's more of a chilled aspect, whereas FPL is very like hardcore. It's like nailing every decision, whereas that you can have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. If we're looking at our gamblers out there, I mean, your problem with fantasy football is the problem that gamblers have. They get too serious in it. And don't tell Wonga that, because that's probably what happens with Wonga. He's looking at the scores, and he's an Arsenal fan, so it's a double whammy. So it's a no-good situation. But, David, what are we looking at in terms of how you get involved into it? Obviously, you had an interest in football. Did you play football? Is there also which team do you support in the Premier League? Because, I mean, you don't just watch the Premier League for fantasy football, surely.
Yeah, no, 100%. So I've always enjoyed football, played it at primary school. Unfortunately, my high school didn't have it as a sport. So I didn't play it at that aspect, but I played a lot of five-a-side throughout high school, carry on playing five-a-side, still do it, played yesterday. And then in terms of the Premier League, I support Liverpool. That's been like a generational thing. So
Cillo, he's in good company, yes, sir. He's in good company.
No, I just have to say generational, because nowadays if you say that, everyone thinks you're a Glory fan. So it's been rotated because I've been through the primary school bullying and the high school bullying by United fans. You know, we haven't been the best of team historically, but generationally it's been in the family. So I've always supported Liverpool, watched every game. Can't say I watched every game from about like 6, because that wasn't kind of how I was. I just remember a lot of the games from kind of Fernando Torres era upwards. But yeah, I haven't missed the game in years, and I'm a very big Liverpool supporter. So as I said, I already watched the sport, already had an interest in the sport, so getting a hobby within it was like a perfect kind of recipe.
Okay, but don't pull back on the punches. If you want to throw any jabs at Man United, Cello's here for you. He's your punching bag. Just
the group chats have been busy this season. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's all those years of bullying, like you said.
It's payback. It's payback. No, we deserve it. We deserve it. So we need to take as much as we give. You know what I mean? So because we've been bullying, you know, especially your Liverpools and now your Arsenals, and you know, so we have to take it. We have to take it.
But Arsenal fans are just a constant bottom of the jokes, you know. So we need to give them some respect sometime.
No, definitely, definitely.
No, David, they can't just get it. They need to earn it. Like most they need to earn that respect.
100%.
Liverpool, quick chat about Liverpool. Favorite player of all time?
Got to be Stevie G, but I actually was speaking to someone the other day about this. There's 4 players that always have a special place in my heart. The first one's obviously Stevie G. He's just the consistent. But I grew up with Fernando Torres, who I think he was the first name I had on my shirt. So I had a massive love for him. Suarez was an absolute goat for us, and Coutinho. So Coutinho is a, he can make up for it on Sunday, but he kind of, that's probably was my first heartbreak, was for Coutinho leaving. But out of those four, it's got to be Stevie G though. I mean, I think he's just earned it.
And what did you think about Fernando Torres when he went to Chelsea? Did you keep him in your fantasy team?
So actually, I wasn't playing at that stage. I've only played about five seasons. So I think I even...
What?
I was just
played five seasons, and he's schooling us. We're fighting with
him.
I even miss Suarez. Like, you remember when Suarez used to play Norwich, and it was just the consistent
and
four
used to
goals
all the time. Yeah,
I even started after that. So I haven't necessarily had the bet like that love of those players in FPL. So I've just kind of enjoyed watching them from a football point of view.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Wow.
I think, David, who's your greatest ever in the time that you have been playing fantasy football? Who's your greatest player you've ever had?
Your banker. Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be Salah, because I mean, over the past three or four seasons, he's a four season wonder, five season wonder, as I like to call him. Because remember when he came in the first season and he banged like 30 goals, and then everyone was saying, oh, one season wonder. Then he does it the next season, then the next season. So. It's got to be him. I mean, he's just been a consistent. This season hasn't been that great for me. I didn't captain him against United when he scored the three goals and one assist. I went for Kai Havertz. So I gave everyone a 26-point head start, I like to say then. But, I mean, it's got to be Salah over the previous seasons. He's just been sensational, and he's just lifted the limits.
Yeah, we like lifting the limits. David, in terms of when you were looking, you obviously had this interest in stats and data and combining that with football. When you're looking at in fantasy football, when you're picking your side, what is your go-to strategy? I know some of us, like Settle, for example, he would look at strikers first. Some of us build up. Obviously, the game's changed now where your fullbacks are 8-point something or something or other. But what is your go-to strategy?
So in terms of strategy, my overarching, like the kind of holistic approach I always take is fixtures. I always look at the fixtures. Like, there's a big debate about fixtures versus form, usually in the community. Like, some people are form and some people are fixtures. But I like to say that fixtures create form. And I think in FPL, you're always trying to get on the bandwagon before it gets too big. And therefore, I think if a player has a nice run of fixtures, you might be able to get on earlier before most people get on. So I'd say that's the number one thing. But then obviously, you look at a team and say Liverpool have great fixtures, then you can kind of digress and say, okay, Salah's a top goal scorer. He's worth the money. He's going to be a captaincy option. But then in terms of my defenders, like you spoke about fullbacks, I just love a fullback. It's just that combination of attacking and defensive points that we've kind of seen rise over the prior kind of game or seasons. So in terms of like kind of those positions, 100%. But like you can see this season, forwards have been absolute trash. I think Harry Kane is like might be the leading goal scorer. I haven't even really focused on it that much. I mean, he's having a pretty crap season as well. So as you've said, you kind of have to adjust to it. And we're now seeing an emergence of fullbacks and midfielders. And I think next season, our forwards are going to have to do a bit of work to kind of get in our teams.
There we go. Settle, before we get into more of the Premier League sort of tips and tricks, is there anything else you want to know about David and something that David should tell the people?
No, so I think in terms of when you select your sides, how deep do you go in terms of analytics? Obviously, you've spoken about the fact that you look at the fixture list going forward, but do you kind of then look at, okay, for instance, now, you know, you got a Trent Alexander-Arnold who's priced the most expensive defender. Do you then say to yourself, okay, I'm going to put a Trent, I need to find a bargain buy elsewhere in the defense, for instance, and say you put in a Ben Mee or a Lewis Dunk, you know, center backs who can score goals, you know, they score some headers generally, and then also their defense is decent, you know, it's not a Leeds United defense, it's quite a decent defense, even though they're at the bottom of the table. Do you kind of like try and balance your squad in that regard and say, okay, cool. Or do you just pick, okay, I'm looking for a £4 million defender and then pick anyone or pick whichever guy who got the most points last season? Or do you actually think about it and say, oh no, I think Brighton don't concede much and Lewis Dunk might be the right person or this guy might be the right person?
So in terms of my overall setup, I think if, like, let's say we're looking at a game one perspective, or even if you're on a wild card or a free hit or that sort of thing, I have certain kind of essentials that I'd go for. So let's just say I've got players that need to be in my squad. I consider them essential. So it'll be kind of like a Mo Salah. It'll be a Trent. and maybe I want a Cancelo because he's having a great season. Then I'll look at how much value I have left over. And then you have to kind of look at combinations, because then you could say maybe I can downgrade Trent to Robbo. That gives me an extra 1 million to afford a Mason Mount over Harvey Barnes or something, you know. You can then look at those combinations. But what I would say is you have to start off with certain options that you need or think are essential, because otherwise the possibilities are endless. You know, you can have all these kind of different drafts that you come up with. So I think as long as you have a core and a bunch of people that you think are going to score points, then you can kind of vary as you go. And then, as you said, if you have 5 million less, 5 million left for defender, you can say, okay, Brighton versus Newcastle, who's got a better defense? Then you can go to the stats and that sort of stuff. But those kind of positions I feel kind of filter naturally after I pick who I want.
Okay, that's proper. So this season your essentials, you say, so has it been Trent, your Salah, and I don't know, maybe a goalkeeper that you feel has been an essential?
So for me, I think the goalkeepers, I always like to play a cheaper goalkeeper. I just feel like the goalkeeper position doesn't have too much of a high ceiling. Like, you're going to get some clean sheets and save points and that sort of thing. But in terms of kind of value per million, I like to think that an Alisson can sometimes be compared to like a cheaper goalkeeper who's playing for a worse defense, but's racking up the save points. I mean, we saw like a Ramsdale who went on a great streak of save points and clean sheets. So in the goalkeeper department, I always like to go for someone cheaper. And then, as I mentioned, the fullback. So I think it was a Cancelo and a Trent. And then I think I did definitely have a Salah in my game week one squad. Then there was some variation around there. I can bring up the game week one squad if you want to, but I think definitely there will be one or two essentials that I would have in there.
No, that's proper. That's proper. That's a great way to go about it. I think what most people try to do is they look at what worked well for them last season. For instance, let's say, you know, last season a Salah or a Harry Kane worked well, or a Heung-Min Son worked well for you. Then you're like, okay, these are the players I have to carry over into this season because they did so well for me last season, and they're not injured right now, and they're actually going to be in the first game of the season. I'm going to play them for the first game. And sometimes what happens is that they flop or something happens. Yeah. Something just happens.
Like,
someone gets an injury, and then next thing you know, and then COVID happens. I hated that time when there was a lot of COVID incidents where I had four players out with COVID and I couldn't touch anything. I could only do one free transfer.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of people actually are – So last year and this year have been a little bit strained from FPL because of the whole COVID situation and that sort of thing. I mean, we've had a massive amount of doubles and blanks. I can tell you, since I've been playing, that hasn't really happened. So I think there's a lot of FPL managers out there that are actually happy that the season's coming to an end, because it's just been so draining, and you have to, like, every week you have to make like a new team, have to take hits and that sort of stuff. So this season's strategy has been completely different to the prior seasons. And what you've seen is a lot of managers who are quite set in their ways. They want to like plan out a strategy from game week 10 to 20. I'm going to make this transfer in game week 15, going to save a transfer game week 16. They've actually come under the cosh of it because this style has been very volatile. And as I've said, the hits have actually paid off because you have a double game week basically every next week, so they can make up those hits.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah, those double game weeks do help, especially if you got a couple of free hits. And I think they even gave us an additional free hit this season. They gave us an extra one. That helped. I was aware of that one, and I try to switch up my team, but sometimes in the festive season, you know, you're having too much fun with your family, having a braai. You have no network where you are. You try to sort out your team, trying to find network, network, and then you can't even change anything. You're like, this is hope for the best.
That happens to the most of us, I think.
Yeah,
that is the situation with Premier League or the FPL. It is a season-long commitment, just like the teams and the players and the managers out there. If you're watching us now and you don't know who this is David. This is David, Davey, Dave Slab, the FPL guru. So ask your questions if you have any questions. We will have a Q&A, the best questions we will ask him. But before we move on from the FPL Premier League tips, because we wanted to know a little bit more about David, but Sid will just jump straight into it, and that's fine because we're here now, and this is a good place to be. I'm just wondering now, David, when we're looking at this, and you're talking about the strategies, and we're talking about pre-planning, and what you said earlier, you said, you know, it's making the right decision at the right time before when you're making the transfer. Who do you pull out before everyone else, or you sign, or you get in before everyone else jumps on the bandwagon. What is your strategy and your approach? Do you have your own sort of Excel spreadsheet where you're keeping track of this, or do you actually use the sorted by filter in the FPL where you look for threats, ICT index, the form, and all of that? Like, what's your go-to strategy in terms of making those predictions?
So in terms of like the stats I use, I never use the like official Premier League kind of stats like threat, ICT, that sort of thing. However, they're actually over the prior season, some people have actually been saying that is fine. I have websites that I use for stats. I was affiliated with a fantasy Premier League website this season that has like an algorithm that kind of will show you what transfer to make if you want that. I don't necessarily use that all the time because I like to make some of my own decisions. But in terms of kind of the short-term planning of this season, I've adjusted my strategy. So I've never really been one for an Excel spreadsheet. I think there was one time this season that I actually mapped out some transfers. I think it was around when all those doubles were kind of stacked up against each other. But this season I've been super short-term. I've looked only at a kind of a few game weeks time because of how volatile the season's been. I mean, you never know when a team is going to get a COVID postponement. So I've never really been one for the long term. So I'm more of a short-term manager, and I think this season that's really been kind of nice to have. But in maybe next season when the long-term approach is better, we might see a shift. So you never kind of know with that. But I like to kind of, as I say, go back to the fixtures. As soon as a team has bad fixtures, I like to pull them out, and I just hope that that does me justice, kind of.
And the fine line between playing with your head and playing with your heart, I mean, how many Liverpool players do you have in your squad at the moment?
So, I mean, you can probably attest to this, but it's nice supporting a team that's doing well, because there's been some United, no disrespect, but there's been some United fans over on Twitter and that sort of thing that they always like to go for some United options, and then they don't end up returning. Saying that, though, I did bring in Bruno Fernandes when he had that double game week. I think it was against Brighton or something like that, and he scored 2 goals, and I actually captained him, so I was pretty happy with that one. But I don't think I'm too biased when it comes to my FPL team. If a player is doing badly, then maybe I'll take them out from Liverpool. But I do think I've got a soft spot for Salah, because he's had, since AFCON, he's been pretty bad. But I still have him in my squad, and I'm kind of rolling with him. But yeah, they're definitely – I try to think that you shouldn't be biased in FPL, but it's always going to come into account. So hopefully Liverpool play well for the next couple of years.
It's just natural, man. I think you know, if I think of what I – my strategy as well was Bruno Fernandes. Obviously gave me so much points last season. I was like, I can't drop the guy, you know. But then what you find yourself having a headache is you might have to choose, do you have Bruno Fernandes and Salah, or do you have neither? And because when your coins are not enough, you kind of have to skim a bit, maybe in the defense or the striker.
Yeah.
And which is very tricky. I think, you know, my strategy, I remember when I started the season, was because Harry Kane, there was the whole issue of, is he going to go to Man City or not? Yeah. I was like, this guy won't play the first game. He's around the right space. He might leave, so he won't play the first game. And I didn't include him, you know, whereas probably some people said, hey, man, Harry Kane's the guy to pick. But if you think about it, actually, there's so much things going around within the fantasy world and what's going on in real life, and you're like, nah, it's going to affect it. And as you said, you lose 24 points at the start. It's tough to get back those 24 points after the first game week.
Yeah, and as you said, it's natural. I mean, if I'm watching Liverpool every single game week, I know how the players are playing. And that's why there's some guys, I don't know if you guys watch like every single game, but I know some people that'll sit there from like Saturday to Sunday watching every single Premier League game. I'm not like that. So, I mean, that can be powerful, because then you can maybe see, oh, this Brighton player is getting in advanced positions, and not many people know that. So, I think it's natural to kind of pick the team that you watch. And it's also a bit more exciting. I mean, it's nice when Salah gets a hat-trick and you've also captained him.
True. That's definitely true. The worst is when one of the player that plays for your team, like a Bruno Fernandes, scores 2 goals against Leeds United and gets an assist or scores a hat-trick, and you didn't captain him. You know, you're happy that he got a hat-trick, but you're angry the fact that you kept him. You're like, oh, what is I
thinking? No, so imagine me when I was watching with my mates in Liverpool, 5-0 up against United, and Salah's got three goals and an assist, and I didn't captain him. I'm just sitting there like, I'm going to get absolutely roasted, but, you know, I'm happy because we're winning.
But how's that been in terms of, say, you don't make those decisions and you're giving people sort of advice and tips before it comes out, and sometimes it doesn't land? Have you gotten any... any feedback from the people that are watching your videos in terms of the comment section or?
Yeah, so I mean, you're always going to have one or two people, but I think I'm fortunate. I'm not really one of the massive F-ball channels. So those guys, you know, they're getting a lot more views, so they'll obviously get a lot more haters. So maybe my people are a bit more genuine because I'm a bit smaller, that sort of thing. So I haven't really got too much hate, but at the end of the day, I said this, that I don't mind if people blame me for their decisions as long as they take it off themselves, you know. Like, I don't mind being the dartboard that they throw darts at, as long as it's going to make them enjoy the game, because I can take it at the end of the day. I mean, if a guy's tuning me about captaining Havertz and he's blaming me, I'll just be like, I'll take it, you know. It's not going to affect my life, but if it makes their life a bit better, it is what it is.
But also, gents, I've got a question in terms of when we're looking at Sedlo, you touched on the fact, you know, Harry Kane possibly going, he probably wouldn't play that game. I think if you're looking at Man City players generally with Pep Guardiola, it's pretty tough to pick a good set of players, even if you have De Bruyne or whatever, because he's always rotating. And yeah, I think, is that something we're seeing in the modern game where, even like with Liverpool now, having a stronger depth in terms of their squad, with regards to Salah being benched now, obviously for other reasons. But how much of a should Premier League players or FPL players take that into account?
So it's going to get even worse next season. Sorry for this, but five subs are coming. So it's going to be even bigger rotation next season. Or what we're going to see is guys getting, because what I've generally found is, if you take Liverpool, for example, it's like a two sub maximum. That most Premier League managers don't go to three subs just in case there's an injury in the final 10 minutes or so. But like we saw in the FA Cup, I think we allowed five subs. Salah gets injured, goes down. They're like, listen, come off. We're going to take a precaution here. Champions League is the exact same. A guy goes down with a little bit of a knock, and then they just like, let's just take him off. I think that's going to be quite prevalent next season. But at the end of the day, I guess we all, that's a situation that we all have to deal with. But I do think that might see us migrate to the lesser teams, because a Harry Kane, a Son, they're going to be playing 90 minutes probably most game weeks, or 80 minutes at least. Whereas with a Man City or Liverpool, I mean, if you got a Diaz on the bench, you're not going to be keeping him on there for long. You know, there's going to be some massive rotation, I think, in the big hitters. So I definitely think we're going to have to take it into account. But as I said, most of us are going to have to deal with it. It's a general thing. And just have to hope that the players we captain, we might have to look at minutes in terms of that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah, that whole Man City aspect is, yeah, people used to always get angry at the fact that, oh, I captained De Bruyne, I captained Gundogan, and now you've benched him, I captained Sterling, and you benched him. Yeah, you don't even know.
Sedlo's never had this problem, David, because he's anti-Man City.
Last season, I was so angry when Gundogan was benched. Like, listen, Gundogan was the banker. He was the best performing, one of the best performing midfielders, where you like, Gundogan, what's happening? This season, I think with Man City, the strategy should be Cancelo rather, because he plays right back and left back. Whereas, you know, if you get like Gundogan or, okay, he doesn't even play that much, Mahrez or someone, next week he's not playing. Gabriel Jesus, I put him on the other time, then he doesn't play. Then I'm like, what's going on? You know what I mean?
So that's why, like, Cancelo's been like FPL gold, because it's a nailed Man City option. And I always say this, if you look at kind of points per minutes played, Man City options are always at the top. Like a Mahrez, I think he has a better return, maybe less than Salah, but it might be more, just because when he plays, he usually bangs. So if we had a nailed Man City option, it's so powerful. And that's why I think Haaland's a bit attractive next season, because if he does play the majority of minutes, it's like an Aguero, you know, it's a nailed Man City attacker, and that is always going to return points.
See some tips already, Claudio. Are you taking some tips for next season, man? So you can be maybe top one in Goal Lounge TV. You know what I mean?
I've got my notepad, my pen. It's working. So yes, definitely taking tips. I'm just thinking in terms of David. Like, if people want to be as good as you, I mean, what is your day to day? What do you do in terms of to stay on top of the game? I know we've spoken about, I've mentioned spreadsheets and all the rest of it. There's all these other tips. There's external websites that you can tap into. But what is your ritual in order to keep on top of it?
So it's a little bit tough to say, because I think, like, FPL and football is always on the mind, you know. So whatever you're kind of doing, you're thinking. But the biggest thing that I would just say, and this is the same for anyone getting into FPL that wants to do slightly better, it's just to stay on top of it. Whether that means doing your chances every week, change your captain every week, but it comes down to, there's so much power out there on Twitter this season where we're getting that injury news, we're getting those press conferences where maybe the manager suggests that he's going to bench this option. Then you're like, listen, maybe I should take this guy out. just by belonging to something like an FPL Twitter culture or that sort of thing, or even Reddit. There's an FPL Reddit page that is quite popular. Just getting that under information is always quite powerful. And I think what we're seeing with the way that FPL is kind of picking up, a lot more people are being informed. And therefore, if you're not informed, it's quite hard to kind of get into those upper tiers just because of the amount of information that's being processed online. And I mean, this season there's been, you talk about like the Man City rotation. There's one account over on Twitter that takes the Blue Moon Forum, which is the Man City fans forum, and they have a page where they predict the lineup. And they take all those predictions and put in an Excel spreadsheet and show you guys like, okay, 100% of people expect De Bruyne to play. And then you can maybe assess think that, obviously it's fan forum. So it's like, it's something that might not be true. No one can kind of predict Pep, but it's people that watch them every single week that might be able to give you some more information than you would have known. It's just to stay informed. And, then it comes down to luck. I mean, there's always going to be a luck portion in any kind of game. But it's just, you can adjust your style how you please. You can be a super maverick manager or you can be a conservative one. But as long as you're staying informed, you can make the best decisions as possible.
Now, that's pretty insightful. And then what happened, you remember last season where I think what happened was a couple of people in the Aston Villa backroom staff and a couple of players took out Jack Grealish, right? And obviously there was this scandal to say, players must stop playing fantasy because they kind of indicating that Grealish won't be playing. And obviously Grealish was quite a big player last season. How do you feel about that? You know, players actually participating in fantasy.
So no, wait, before he answers that, are you saying he was only a big player last season and the only thing big was the price tag this season? Is that where he falls short in the fantasy?
I'm saying he gave more points last season. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right. There we go.
He's on par with Taki Minamino for goals and assists, I think, this season. So, I mean, that tells you enough.
David knows. He knows. David knows the power of Taki. He knows the power of Taki.
No, so on that side, I mean, look, at the end of the day, if Premier League players aren't going to be allowed to play FPL, I mean, they're going to have to take it. They earn enough money, they can have enjoyments elsewhere. True. But I understand what you're saying because someone made a Twitter bot. And what the bot did was it basically, because obviously you have your name as your FPL profile. So they went and they saw that, okay, this person was a coach or this person was a physio or this person was a player, maybe a reserve player, that sort of thing. And they tracked all those FPL teams and straight off to the deadline when you can see all the moves people make, they would say, as you said, Jack Grealish was transferred out by all these Aston Villa insiders and like this player was brought in. So then if you do see that as an opponent, you can see, okay, maybe Jack Grealish is actually injured. I mean, why would these guys be taking him out if he wasn't injured? So it's been something that came about. And actually this season, we've been able to locate a couple of injuries and that sort of thing. But it's a similar thing with the press conference news. So in the NFL, there's a thing called the injury like list or whatever. I forget the name for it, reserve list or whatever. And if a player is injured, they get placed on that. And if a player is on that list and they play the game, they can't. Like there's a fine or something that takes into account. In the Premier League, there's nothing about that. We can have Jurgen Klopp come in and say, Mo Salah's fine to play, but he's actually injured, you know. And I just think that if you're going to lie about injury news and you're going to be worried about a certain player, then maybe the strategy is not that great that you're going into the game with. So I don't think it's that much of an excuse, but I guess for the lesser teams, maybe like a Villa, Grealish was an integral part. So there could be a little bit of a bad thing for them. But yeah, I don't know. You take it as it comes, but I just don't think FPL managers FPL Premier League players are able to play FPL anymore, to be honest. There's too much information that we can assess from it.
And gamblers and bettors and everyone can get involved. So, Selo, you heard it's Twitter, it's bots, it's press conferences.
Crazy, man. Bots. Bots. The fact there's bots. There's bots that are tracking names, you know what I mean? Tracking the fact that Matt Target took out Grealish or Matt Target that's crazy, man.
I don't know if you guys played last season, but there was an account on Twitter, that I think he must have been on the media side of the Premier League, either on the app development or something. But you know when lineups get released? He always had them 15 minutes before. So lineups are released 1 hour before the kickoff, so the first kickoff. And because they have to go on like media platforms, they get loaded earlier. So this guy had access to them. And he was the reason that the deadline was moved an hour and a half now before the first kickoff. Because what he used to do was he used to tell us, he would say like, if Liverpool playing Wolves the first game of the game week, you would say he's got the lineup. This is the lineup. Salah's playing, Trent's playing, Robbo's bench, and then we could react 15 minutes before the deadline with our transfers. So he was the reason why it got moved, and now obviously the deadlines are a bit less exciting because they don't have much news. But just imagine, imagine Sunday where every team kicks off at the same time. We would have every single lineup before they went on, but now we don't because they moved the deadline earlier.
Jeepers. No, because of those chops, a lot more people are swearing in the FPL world. So, are there any more questions you want to ask him with regards to how you could possibly improve your team before we move on to this game week 38 that we need to talk about?
No, I think I'm covered. I think I'm covered. Next season, I'm coming for the top 10 in South Africa. Next season.
Go for it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's also luck. So, I mean, anyone can do it. I've seen a couple of people, their first season's playing, and they're like top 100, that sort of thing. So.
No, you clearly haven't been in a casino, David, because that's beginner's luck. That happens everywhere you go. So watch out there. And that's a good thing. Stay away from the casino. Okay. Cedil, I don't know if you can touch on that, but we're not going to let you touch on that. Okay. We're moving in to the sort of advice for Game Week 38. It is the final week of the Premier League. Like you've said, all these games kick off at the same time. If you look at the bottom, the tick at the bottom, this is the top five of our Premier League. We've got a couple of guys. They're fighting out for it. There's been a lot of movement between these names. They've been consistent throughout the year. I mean, the advice you'd give for everyone who wants to get one over their best friend or their friend's uncle, sister's brother, or whatever it is, and the bragging rights that they want for the end of the season? What should they do? What is imperative that they do this weekend?
So in terms of Game Week 38 and how you approach it, there's kind of two ways to do it. The first way is the overall rank. So if you don't care about mini leagues and that sort of thing, that's just looking at overall ownerships of players and that sort of thing. But the way you mentioned is the mini leagues, and that way is actually a little bit simpler, because if you're defending a lead or attacking a lead, it all depends on the person above you or below you. So for example, let's take if you're number one in your league, and you want to kind of defend your league from the second place player, you almost try and predict what chances they're going to make, and you try and block those. So let's say Salah's confirmed to be missing for game week 38. Let's say Klopp says in the press conference, this injury that he sustained in the FA Cup final is going to keep him out for Wolves. Then obviously both managers are going to have to take Salah out. You think that the second Oak's going to bring in Son or KDB. You bring in the exact same player as him, because then he can't make points up on you. And it's kind of the vice versa of if you second and you're trying to chase the guy in first. If you have the same players as them, you're not going to gain points on those players. You have to have differences. And that's why I think that that's probably the easiest way to describe it. And I think if there's those of you on a free at this week, that's going to be super kind of valuable, because you can change your entire team as you please. But just be careful about that, because if you're going to take out Son and he bangs, and then you don't have Son because you went to KDB, it's also vice versa, if you know what I'm saying. But at least then you've made the move and try to catch them up. So it's very hard to kind of give them a very general strategy, but that's kind of the most general thing I can say, is you have to look at your opponents and then vary or defend against them.
I'm chasing Claudio right now.
And we don't have many of the same players. So that's what I'm looking at. Yeah,
that's the nice thing. Me and Claudio don't have the same players. So I think the only way I can catch him up is via. I think I have a bench boost. I'm gonna use my bench boost for the last.
Oh, Sella, your bench boost in game week 38. Oh, this guy.
Rookie. You see, David. We're dealing with rookie.
It's poor planning. It's poor planning.
How do you go about choosing those, the bench boost and the rest triple of it? Captain. What are the others? Your wild card and your triple captain.
Yeah. So the wild cards are, and the free hits are quite hard to say, because a wild card is very situational. Let's say you get off to an absolute stinker and game week 3 you want to use your wild card 100%. I always like to kind of postpone my wild card till as late as possible, because you can use it from the start till December. Then you get a new one. So historically, I've always liked to kind of hold it a bit longer. But, I mean, if push comes to shove, Harry Kane's banging and you don't have an expensive forward, you can always just use it. In terms of the free hits, that's also a little bit situational. I used to like the use a free hit on a blank game week, because obviously if there's less fixtures, you can kind of maybe get players you didn't have and stack up on single game week options. The bench boost and the triple captain is always in a double game week. It's just, I just love doing that. And the combination I always love to do is the second wild card and then the bench boost straight after that. The reason for that is that to carry like a very expensive bench in FPL is not optimal. You always want to pump as much money into starting 11. So on a wild card, you can get an expensive sort of bench, or you can get cheap bench players that start, and then you can bench boost straight after that and have relatively good fixtures. So that's my advice on those. If you use a bench boost and a triple captain, a double game week, you're probably going to be happier than a single game week. But as with FPL, there's no set strategy. So if you want to use it in a single game week, you can. I would just advise the doubles to be kind of more optimal and the blanks to be better for the free hits.
And is that some poor planning?
That triple captain, I think, is definitely beneficial on the double game week. I think a lot of people used it, especially when teams were trying to catch up on fixtures. Having two games, and then he scores three goals in two games, which is beneficial, and an assist, and then next thing you know, you got 60 points.
Yeah, so in general, there's always going to be doubles and blanks towards the latter stages of any Premier League season, and the reason for that is the League Cup and the FA Cup games. So the round four of the FA Cup or the League Cup, they correspond with Premier League fixtures. So if teams progress in those competitions, they're going to have blanks, and then those blank fixtures will move to other game weeks and then make doubles. So you can kind of just, what I would advise you to do is save your triple captain and your bench boost, your free it, till as late as possible in the season, and then just take advantage of those. So don't get kind of a quick gun here and want to use them in game week 3 and 4. Just try and be a little bit patient, and I think that that'll reap the rewards.
Unless, of course, you're just trying to own the league for the first couple of weeks and say you were leading at some point, then do it.
No, exactly. You can do that. I mean, there was an F4 YouTuber this season that used his bench boost really early, had a very nice bench boost and was number one in the world. Now he's sitting 10K. So, you know, but he was able to get a YouTube following because he was first in the world. So you can do a lot of things. And as you said, if you just want to lead your mini league for a few weeks, you can do that. Have a bit of banter, say you're leading, but at the end of the day, when everyone's used those chips, you're going to fall down the ranks.
All right. What is your highest ever finish, David?
22nd in the world.
22nd, Celo.
Listen to that. 22nd in the world.
Casually, I finished 22nd. Did you get any prizes or anything?
So there's only prizes for the first three. My advice for FPL is make the prizes a bit better, because I saw in the IPL they were giving away cars, and I think in FPL you get a week holiday where you get to go to two Premier League games. I think that's what you get if you finish number one.
Two? They should give you like a free month of just traveling around. Yeah, they should do.
Exactly. They should give you like, you can any two fixtures and you can be flown in for those two fixtures, you know, and yeah. So
7 million players, I think that they could up the prizes a bit, but I mean, it's a free game at the end of the day, but I think they get a bit from advertising. But yeah, so I didn't win anything from that. I won a few like cash prizes from other mini leagues, but I've never really been one for mini leagues. I'm just usually focused on overall rank. And now obviously that I've like made a YouTube career, I generally try to keep the personal mini leagues to a minimum, just so like people can't like track me like personally or something like that.
Yeah,
so
I'm beating David. That's what we're saying here.
We got to go for David. We got to beat David. Wow, man. But so you say, is that when you were first in South Africa and 22nd in the world?
Yeah. So when I was first in SA, I was 22nd overall.
You see, Celo, this is what we should have led with in the about section. We completely skipped it. Okay.
No,
but yeah.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Because it's actually your pinned tweet on Twitter. 22nd in the world. 2,556 overall points. First in South Africa. Second in official FPL Twitter league. Sixth in the Liverpool league. Wow. That's crazy. I mean, how many points do you have this season, if I may ask?
You can't really measure like performance on points like from season to season, because every season is kind of different. But right now I have 2, 2, 5, 4, 6.
So Stella, what he's trying to say is subtly saying he's having a Bruno Fernandes season. So I don't know why.
He said 2, 5, 4, 6. So he's 10 points behind his numbers here, right? 2, 5, 4, 6.
2, 5, 4, 6.
So he's 10 behind. So I understand what you mean. Obviously, you can't look at it.
Yeah. So from season to season, I mean, like, exactly. So yeah, like, let's just say everyone's captaining Salah and he has a great season. But I think the number one in the world for the last two seasons has beat the prior seasons continuously. So like, we're on like a incline of points. Let's just say
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So look, Claudio, you can jump on that comment, I guess.
Which one here? We got some words.
Goalkeeper, Foster. What am I seeing?
Okay, wait. Wait. We're going to get to gossip one. Okay, so David, we've got gossip one saying. He's saying some words to my squad. He's saying, okay, he wants you to give your feedback here. He's saying goalkeeper, he's got Foster. On bench, he's got South. Or Foster. Well, no, sorry.
So Foster Southampton. Yeah.
Foster Watford.
Yeah.
In defense, he's got Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's got Cancelo. He's got Holgate, Shaw, Tavares. In midfield, he's got KDB. He's got Son, Madison, Saka, Saha. And then up front, Vardy, Richarlison, and then Vega Shoy. Oh, there we go.
He's just butchered the spelling now, I think.
It's the Burnley striker, right?
Yeah, the one that plays for Burnley.
So what do you think about that team? Leading into game week 38.
So it's fine. I think what I would try and do is, I think if you don't think that Zaha's going to do well against United, sorry, Celo, but like, I don't know if they're going to do well, like they might, but I would try and get Mason Mount. But what I would just try and look out for is tomorrow, Chelsea play Leicester. So depending on that lineup, we might have some rotation. For example, if Vardy plays the 90 minutes against Chelsea, I don't know necessarily if he's going to start on Sunday, but he might, but I don't think that's a priority for your team. But, either Richarlison, you could go for a Tony. They play Leeds, which is quite nice. But I definitely think the Mount move looks quite great. If you can afford him for Zaha, it's probably what I would do.
Okay, that's
perfect. There we go, Gossip One. If you have any more questions or any more things you want to ask, David, the Q&A is coming up. But before we move on from Game Week 38, I mean, you say you look at the fixtures, David. Let's chat about the fixtures. Let's get your predictions in here. I mean, Arsenal versus Everton, that's a big one. We know it's sort of Champions League hopes have gone out the toilet now for Arsenal. Yeah. They are hosting Everton. Everton desperate to do what they can to survive. Seemingly they have made it, but still, what is your prediction?
Okay, so with Everton, if they manage to do something against Crystal Palace tomorrow, I think they'll be fine anyways. But I just think, I don't know how Arsenal are looking. I watched them against Newcastle, and I understand that Newcastle are doing better under Eddie Howe, but I just didn't see much fight in them. So I think that game's going to be a close one. I would avoid it from an FPL perspective if you guys are going to make transfers and that sort of thing. I would almost say I might just give it to Arsenal because it's a home game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a 1-1.
Yeah. Cool. Which games would you focus a lot of your players?
Yeah.
I think there's
about five games that I would focus on. Obviously, Man City and Liverpool because of the title race. Liverpool yesterday rotated the entire squad basically. So
nine changes.
Your Trent, your Trent, your Robertsons. If Salah's fit, I think he plays, but I'm a little bit skeptical about him because I think they'll make him play 90 minutes. But your Lucas Diaz's, your Mane's, they're all going to feature. I would target that team. Or that fixture. Then Man City versus Aston Villa. I'm a Liverpool fan, so I'm going to dream, but to be honest...
Ings! Put in Watkins and Ings! Come on, man!
The betting man's choice is that Man City went comfortably there. So a Cancelo, a KDB, those are the two I would look at. But then we get into these kind of differential games where it's Chelsea versus Watford, which I think is the best game I would actually target. Watford are terrible. Chelsea at home should look on to put on some good form. It just depends on who starts there. So... I mean, I hope we get some early team news, but you'd assume a Mount, if Alonso and Reece James play, they'll be great. Then the next fixture is going to be Leicester versus Southampton. Southampton, I don't know if you can attest to this, but they looked on the beach. They looked like they were on the beach. They were just parking. I don't even know what they were doing. So I think Southampton will ship a few against Leicester. So Vardy and Madison, they could be great. But the final game is the one that I think most people target, and that's Norwich hosting Spurs. So Son and Kane, they have to win. If they win, they get top four. Norwich are bad. They're already relegated. So I think those assets and my differential from that game will probably be Sessegnon, putting on some pretty good attacking stats. And I mean, obviously you can also get a clean sheet there. And he's 4.2 million. So most people should be able to afford him. So he's my outside like differential pick there. But any of those five games have the potential for massive hauls. And we're actually quite lucky because we have some very premium sides with home fixtures against lesser opposition. Mm-hmm. And it's not always like that. And I think those games are going to have a lot of goals in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you heard it, guys. Those are the tips, guys. You heard that. That's someone I haven't thought of. You know what I mean? I think I can definitely sneak him into my side, a clean sheet for Spurs.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's such a boring transfer on like the last game week of the season. Bringing in a 4.3 defender. It's like, I could bring in a KDB, a Mount, all these other options, and I'm bringing in some budget defender. But I mean, if he gets a clean sheet and attacking return, that's a double digit haul. So I think I'd be quite comfortable with him. But yeah. I mean, it's quite hard. Out of those five teams, you can't fit everyone in. So I would just try and vary and think of the games. More importantly, the players you think are going to start, because game week 38 have the reputation where you have these players that are leaving on contracts and they've played for a few years. They get the game because it's their last game of the season. So we might actually see some surprises in the lineups, but I think generally most sides want to put on a good performance for their last home game. So we should be fine.
Another one from gossip one captain for game week 38. Who I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying who's your captain, but who are the three players you're looking at captaining for game week 38.
Yeah, so I always like to say there's a couple of options that are safe. Look, unfortunately with Salah, I can't give much advice on him because we don't know if he's going to start or not. Let's just assume he doesn't start to make things a bit more interesting. But obviously if Klopp says he's fine and will start, then he will be quite a popular option. But definitely Son and Kane will be the most safe options this week to go for. And I would suggest them if you guys are kind of happy with your rank, want to be a bit more defensive. But if you guys want to push up the ranks, I think if Vardy starts against Southampton, he's a great pick. I think that to Mount against Watford or even a Reece James Alonso, those will be absolutely sensational if they start. So I think safety, it's probably Son or Kane. But if you want to go a little bit different, I think Vardy or Mount / Reece James Alonso.
There we go. I mean, that pretty much wraps up this sort of advice for game week 38. I mean, we do have Q&A now. So, Silo, I mean, this doesn't necessarily just have to be for the game week, but if you ask it in the comments and you want to ask questions, feel free to do it. We'll ask David. But we just want to ask, for my side, I'm curious, who's your best, your favorite sort of fantasy player for the season? The best pick for the season? Yeah. The one that deserves the trophy?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. I can't give it to Salah because, as I've said, he hasn't been too nice to me. But I think a player like a Cancelo or a Reece James for me have been super, super quality. Look, Trent, I mean, it's hard to say. I don't want to give it to Liverpool asset because they just, like, it's tough because they're so good at what they do that they raise the bar. So if they have one less assist than last season, you say that about a bad season, but collectively, I mean, it's been a great season for all of them. But I think I captained Reece James when he got 18 points, but I think Cancelo has to be a standard option. I probably would say he's been my favorite asset to kind of own. Just been really consistent.
And your cheapest favorite player that you've had all season? You know, there's always a bargain buy.
I might have to go and check on the team that I've had. There was a stage, I don't know if you guys remember at the start of the season, but Robbo was out and Tsimikas was starting. And I think he got a couple of assists over the first couple game weeks. So I think that he's a great option. But I think I'll kind of link it to two options because I had Smith Rowe at that stage where he was just scoring all the time. Yeah. But then I switched him to Saka at the perfect moment. So I think between those two are the cheap options that I would kind of look at. I think Saka's been great value for money. I think he was about 6.5 at the start of the season. So he's been great value. And then also I think Kulusevski has to have a shout out since he came into the Premier League.
My shout out is Jared Bowen.
Yeah, no, so I forgot about him, but I think I lost him when the fixtures turned a bit bad. But yeah, he's been insane.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I hope they price him well next season. I hope they don't make him too expensive because he's just quality. I mean, West Ham are kind of lucky to have him.
Do you think he moves on? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think so. I think he'll have another year at West Ham probably. I think the way I've seen them deal with the Declan Rice situation where they're making you pay like a very high transfer fee. I think they'll do the exact same with Declan Rice. I mean, with Jared Bowen. So I can't see him moving, but maybe next season.
No, definitely. No, what I wanted to ask is that what you find as well with not even the pricing is the positions, right? When they put a player in the wrong position, right? So I don't know if you recall, there was the season where Martial scored, I think, 18 goals and had like 10 assists or something. They put Martial as a midfielder.
Hello,
right?
You got to let this Martial thing go.
No, but I'm serious.
It's not relevant anymore.
But I'm serious. He was playing as a number 9,
I know what you
right?
say,
He was playing as a number 9, but they put him as a midfielder in FPL, and he was getting me so many points. I was like, guys, this guy's not a midfielder. He's a striker, and how do you feel about that? You know, because they kind of mismatch the forwards and the midfielders, or the wide forwards and the midfielders. They put a wide forward in midfield, and then they put a midfield as a nine, you know, type of thing. It kind of get messed up. Even Aubameyang, they switched more Aubameyang from a striker to a midfielder once, and I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, so I think what they look at is they look at the amount of games that they played the majority of their positions. So, for example, with the Martial, maybe he did play on the wing, and then naturally wingers are always going to be midfielders. But there are some like ones that are a bit weird. Like, I mean, Son this season has been playing as like a second forward, and he's also classified as a midfielder. But I don't know if you guys remember, it was last season or the season before, but Lundstrom, he was a 4.0 defender for Sheffield United.
And,
they played him in midfield. And he was a goal-scoring midfielder. So it's those that are like the gems, you know. Like, I think they have to keep some of those options in. But I think next season, there's been a lot of speculation, because some people have been saying that Salah might be a forward, maybe Mane might be a forward, Son might be a forward, that sort of thing. And I don't know, it definitely downgrades them as an option, because you get one less point as a forward for a goal, and obviously you don't get the clean sheet point if your team keeps a clean sheet. So the midfielders are super valuable and super good captaincy picks. So I hope they don't make too many of them forwards, but I think they might because of how bad the forwards have been this season.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, wow. Okay, wait. Now this is getting interesting. This is interesting what Gossip One is saying. He's talking about money. He's looking to get some money. So these tips he's using might get him some money. He's competing head-to-head worth an amount of $15,000. I have 17 points ahead of my opponent till today with 3 games of Game Week 37 remaining. Recommend me a transfer as I have one free transfer with no chip left. Wow, that putting the money aspect into it is probably now like what?
It's true. Like I had a comment on one of my streams on the deadline stream. He was like, "Thanks for the content. You've made me a lot of money." And I'm just like, "Thanks." You know, like, I haven't seen any of that money, but you know, he's made it. But it's true, because I mean, if people are like looking at what moves I make and that sort of thing, they could be winning a mini league. I had a guy at my previous work that like. He told his friend to watch my channel because him and a mate made like a 10,000 rand bet or something like that, who will finish higher. So, I mean, there's lots of money that goes in with FPL. But what I will say with him is if he's defending a 17-point lead, just try block off any move that you think they're going to make. If you want to make an aggro move, I'd try the Mount move. I don't know if you have enough money for that, but that's probably what I do. Or I do the Tony in for Vahorst or Richarlison. But, yeah, it's a tough one. Or you can look at Sessegnon, as we mentioned earlier on. It's just quite hard to assess if we don't know really what their team is, if you know what I'm saying.
Gossip One, man, we're holding thumbs there for you. $15,000, bro. I mean, that's
a couple of rand there, eh? Yeah, maybe I should get in on my league.
I should also get in there, man. Wow, that's interesting. Wow.
David, for next season, we're looking at the teams that have been promoted. We've already got Fulham. We've already got Bournemouth making a comeback. In terms of any potentials there, because I know, like, I like doing that. I like looking at the players who've had a good season. Yeah, Mitrovic as an example. I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he is, because track record, he's not good in the Premier League, but players like that. So, for example, Harry Wilson at a Fulham, based on the price that he's coming out. So, anyone you're keeping an eye on?
So, like, actually, I'm actually not necessarily wholehearted on it, but I don't think Mitrovic will have a bad season next season. I think that season he had wasn't the greatest, but, I mean, there's been some of them that I think Fulham's grown as a squad. If they keep that call, great. But like Fabio has left to Liverpool now, so they're losing an attacking midfielder there. Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of kind of chances created. But I think it's going to be super hard next season. And the reason for that is a lot of us are going to stack the premiums. I mean, Haaland's coming in, that sort of thing. And I think they're going to price Prem team players that have played in the Prem last season at quite good prices. So if you're going to compare like a Crystal Palace to a Fulham, it's going to be quite hard to include a Fulham option if they have the same price. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. But honestly, with the relegation sides, I think I'm going to stay clear for now, unless it is, as you say, like they price Mitrovic at 5.5 and you can put him on your bench most game weeks. I just don't know.
43 goals, Davey. He scored 43 goals in this
season.
Well,
that's the championship.
It's that championship tax. No, I mean, like,
Solanke has also scored 20-something goals.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
That's just because he played for Liverpool.
I think
he played for Chelsea as well, so.
The Prem's going to be competitive for those sides. But, like, I mean, you'd like to see some of them stay up. If they're going to play attacking, entertaining football, I'm fine with it. But I just think to start off the season, I might take one or two punts. But if there are Premiership teams that are at the same level, I might just go with those options rather.
So, look, any questions from your side?
No. I think he's covered everything. You know, I think obviously my Premier League team is obviously just trying. I'm just trying to eclipse your team. But I think
you've got too many differentials. You got too many.
No, but it's okay. Too many differentials.
I need to start looking at.
No, man. I think. I brought in Kulusevski when you were starting to do well because he had a couple of assists. That's why I brought in Kulusevski to boost my numbers there. You watch the highlights and you're like, hey man, this guy had an assist. He had an assist. You're like, this guy's doing well, you know. So that's the only reason I've got so many Spurs players. But
he's
also
watched more Spurs highlights than he's watched Man United games towards the second half of the season.
Well, he must have had a nice weekend because United had a blank game week this week. So I mean, at least a disappointment there, eh?
Yeah.
No, definitely I did. I had a good weekend. No stress. No worries about what is going on.
All right, David, last question, and then we move on to the final thoughts. Your standout differential player throughout the history of you playing, is there one that you have?
There's one that, like, I mean, there's one that I always go back to if, like, someone was talking to me about, like, the best moment in FPL. It was in the season I finished 22nd. There was a stage where I was around the, like, 1K mark. And then I think Man City were playing some team. It might have been Watford. But I captained Sterling, and Sterling was quite a differential. I think it was like 10% owned. No one went with Sterling. And I actually didn't watch the game, and I came back and I checked my phone at night, and he ended up scoring a hat-trick in that game. So, like, that really boosted me up, because obviously if you're captaining a differential in the first place, that's going to kind of, even if you just have them, it's good. But if you captain them, it's double points. So that, like, took me into the hundreds, and from then I just kind of went on a bit. But hands down, that was the best move I've done in FPL. This season, it was probably captaining Reece James, but I think a lot more people captain Reece James in that double game week than captain Sterling that other week.
Thank you. Sorry, man. I'm just because I know you're a Liverpool fan. Suarez coming to Aston Villa. Do you take a punt on someone like that?
I don't know. I think I'll probably have to wait and see, because I think if that move does come about, then they'll probably price him a bit more than he should be, just because of his reputation in the Prem.
Very cool.
And, you know, I don't think he's the same player that was playing at Liverpool when he was scoring 4 goals against Norwich and et cetera, you know.
Okay, Stedlaw's not going to like this one. But Coutinho, are you gambling on a Coutinho this weekend?
So I don't have him on my FPL team. Look, like, in general, as I said, if you're a betting man, you don't include anyone that plays Man City any game week. It's just like, it's a no-go. They're just such a great side overall. So from an FPL point of view, no. But maybe if I was a Villa fan or like a Liverpool fan and you have nothing to play for, I would just maybe throw in full and just hope that he does a madness.
So look, do you want to ask him the question, or should I, with regards to, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, David, he's not going to ask it. I might as well ask you. First, before we get to the quadruple question, will Liverpool be champions or is it Man City's?
I think it's Man City's, to be honest. I think we've let it slip a bit too much. I'm a bit disappointed with that Spurs game. Now, obviously, with West Ham doing well against them, if we beat Spurs, we would be leading the title now. So, and there's a few opportunities I think we've let it slip. That squad of Man City is just too strong over the entire season. So, I mean, obviously, I'm going to have hope. But last season, that kind of cost, or the season before that, I don't know if you remember when, what was his name? He played for Brighton, their striker. Brighton played Man City on the last game of the season, and balding. Glenn Murray. They went up in like the first 10 minutes. And then Man City scored like 5 minutes later. So I had hope for 5 minutes. And I mean, if four bangs in a 30-yarder, obviously I'm going to have hope. But I just think I'm not going to get too excited. I'd rather focus on the Champions League.
Okay. So then what do you think Liverpool ends with then? How many trophies?
I think we get all big years. I think we win the Champions League. But I mean, I'm fine with that. I've said if we lose the Prem, I hope we win the Champions League. Because if you're in contention for all four titles and you leave with the domestic double, not going to be too sad, but it will be a little bit disappointing, you know.
Okay, before we go, we've got Pums. He's our regular, and Pums is saying the league has gone, Claudio. Let that one go.
Claudio, check what Gossip One saying that he was the guy who he's got the head to head against. He was leading him till game week 35 by 117 points, and he almost lose hope to win game week 36. Helps me a lot despite my Salah betrayed me. After game week 37 started, I'm leading at the same time, worried about game week 36. Ah, so much words in so little few characters. I guess that's a good comeback from him. But I think in terms of what he's saying, recommend him a lineup for game week 38, guys. Catch Davey on his YouTube channel. I think obviously you'll have more specific info in terms of what to look at going to game week 38, and I'm sure you do the video after the game week 37, correct?
Yeah, so I put up a draft today, so that also covers some options that maybe if you guys want to look for transfers. But game week 37's fixtures, there's three tomorrow, so it's quite hard to kind of give final suggestions when games haven't concluded. And then also have those press conferences on Friday and Saturday that might give us more insight into selections on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, look out for his YouTube channel later in the week when obviously the squads are being announced and press conferences. I think obviously he'll release some info on his Twitter and his YouTube page.
Yep. And that pretty much wraps up the show for this evening. If you join us for the first time, I want to say thank you. If you join us for the second time, a very much thank you. And then of course, if you're a regular like a Pums is, we love you. You know. I mean, Pums got a shirt, Davey. That's how much we love him. A goal on a shirt. So if you haven't liked, you haven't subscribed, do the right thing. And also, if you want to check out more Davey footage, it's really awesome. He's great in depth. If you don't know what he's about after this, then we don't know. We can't help you. But go subscribe to his channel, and let's hope you finish above your friends this weekend. Final thoughts from you, Selo, and final thoughts from you, David.
No, my final thoughts is, yeah, man, thanks, David, for coming through. I learned a lot, definitely, in terms of just fantasy football as a whole. And I think, obviously, I'll probably just try and add on to my players for next season and see what I can put together for game week one and all these differential players, you know, and see what I can do, you know, and the bankers and stuff, you know. I think, if you're doing well, you kind of want to keep doing well. But when you're doing badly, you kind of lose a bit of hope, but I'll definitely try and be consistent next season. Also view some of your content as well. I've followed you on Twitter as well now, so definitely going to be looking out for your tweet as well.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, David, anything you want to say before you go?
Just thanks for having me, guys, and hopefully the viewers have a good game week, final game week 38. Hopefully the green arrows are in your favor, and as we were saying, hopefully you beat your friends in your mini leagues. I mean, that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. But otherwise, just enjoy the football on Sunday, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a massive day with the relegation battle in the top four and a kind of final title rush.
You made fantasy football sound like Hunger Games, where you like made the green arrows be in your favor.
Yeah.
It's
a war up there, you know. We got to be strapped.
Gossip One saying thank you very much. He's looking forward to hearing from you again, David. Is there any way that you end your show? Because we have a way we end our other two shows. We don't actually have one specifically for the F off the press. Maybe there's something we can adopt after this. How do you end your shows off?
Oh, I just usually say, like, thanks for watching. And then I just say, I'm out. Cheers. Bye. And then I just leave. I'm not very good with this YouTube thing, to be honest.
Right. And on that note, we're out. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.